I'm Paul Wegraff, director of the Delaware Division of the Arts, and your host for today. Joining me in the studio today is one of the 2019 recipients of the Governor's Awards for the Arts. This particular award is for accomplishments in arts administration, an individual who has shown sustained, impactful, and visionary executive leadership of an arts organization. And I would take that one step further, exemplary leadership in the arts in the greater Wilmington and Delaware community, beyond an arts organization. Ray Jones Avery, welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul. Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad that you're here to talk about your more than 30 years of involvement in the arts here in Wilmington. But before we do that, the arts are not just a career for you. They really are integral to your life. Could you talk about the arts? Because you are also an outstanding performer, a jazz musician.
Well, thank you so much. I have been just really uplifted by arts experiences since I was very young. I moved here with my parents, obviously, from Philadelphia around when I became school age, and I lived in West Wilmington, which is a very multicultural, diverse community. And so the arts were, although a working poor community, the arts were very prominent. We had music. It was during the 60s. We had groups that would sing, primarily young men on street corners and, you know, doo-wop days. And we had enrichment programs where we went to see, you know, professional theater. The city of Wilmington took us on cultural trips. We did all kinds of we had exposure that unfortunately not as many young people have today. And so, you know, I was growing up listening to the Supremes and other groups, and I just enjoyed singing. I thought that I could sing, and for this reason, because I could sing what was on the record, like the record, mm-hmm. and for the most part, and I really wanted to be a singer. And my mother thought that it was the silliest thing in the world. She was like, you know, get that pipe dream out of your head. You know, that's not something that you grow up to be. You know, you're going to go to college. My mother was the first person in her clan to go to college, and she just didn't really support my dream. And so, you know, I have always done both. I continue to sing. When the creator puts a song in your heart, no one can take it away from you. And so I continue to sing, but I was not formally educated. My good friend, longtime childhood friend, Gerald Chavis, he's been studying music and taking lessons since he was like maybe 9-10 years old. And my other good friend, Faustina Dixon, she had a baritone saxophone that was bigger than she was, getting on the school bus when we were in high school at St. Mark's. So I've always been in a circle of musicians, but I did not have a formal lesson until I was an adult. Hmm. And I took that lesson at the Christina Cultural Arts Center. Not only was I an adult taking my first formal voice and piano lessons, I was the mother of two very young children. Mm-hmm. And so my journey has not been a traditional one. You know, I can't say I studied at the conservatory or that I have a degree in art history, but the road less traveled is always an adventure, and it's been really an interesting ride.
And you have taken that love of the arts and that engagement in the arts into three decades of arts administration. You came to the Christina Cultural Arts Center in 1991, I believe.
Yes.
Let's go back to those early years of your involvement in arts administration in Wilmington. How did you get involved in that, and what was the impetus for that?
Okay. So my career as a professional has always been in the nonprofit sector. Mm-hmm. I worked for Community Action of Greater Wilmington. I worked for Planned Parenthood of Delaware, and I came to Christina from the United Way of Delaware, where I have been the director of planning and research for 6 years, and I wanted to get back into direct services. Christina's executive position was open, was vacant, as was Weston Neighborhood House, and I interviewed for both, and of course I thought that I would have to decide between the two, but Weston didn't offer me the position. But I came to Christina following a very well-known, highly visible executive director, Joseph Brumskill. Mm-hmm. And the organization was quite different. I was a student at Christina, but being a student and being an administrator are very different. And when I came to Christina was in a bit of a crisis. student enrollment was down. The position that I was hired for had been vacant for over 6 or 7 months. Mm. The position, the education position, had been vacant for even longer than that. So it was really a skeletal organization.
Was it on Market Street at
it
the
was,
time?
No, it was on 7th and Church in the original parish house of Old Sweets Church.
Right.
So it's still in that building, a beautiful building.
Right.
And so, you know, I've always been in a situation where you work with a team of people to make something out of what looks like, you know, a troubling time. You make mm-hmm. something good out of it. So I was okay with that. The biggest hurdle, though, was we got evicted from the building. So I'm a first time executive director. I have a skeletal staff of 2. I have a declining enrollment. We had a very small budget. And because I came from United Way, I had my friends study their finances. They said, Ray, this is a 10-minute study. Mm-hmm. You don't have much work that you're working with. But to get evicted from the building was pretty traumatic. Lynn Howard was the board president mm-hmm. that hired me, mm-hmm. and we were able to enlist the support of James Gilliam Sr., Ansley Fairman, who was the then executive of Longwood Foundation, and others, to form a capital campaign committee. And we were able to purchase the building at 705 North Market, where the organization currently is. Mm-hmm. We were one of the anchor original organizations in what is now a booming cultural scene. Mm-hmm. In 1991, it was not. Mm-hmm. The Grand was there, and I think the History Center was there.
Mm-hmm.
The Historical Society, to be accurate.
Right.
That was pretty much it. DCAD was not there.
Right.
The Grand hadn't expanded to have offices for other arts organizations. That trauma really turned into a triumph because mm-hmm. Christina was able to be in a position of ownership in a commercial downtown district. We subsequently secured another building in 1998 that housed Kaumba Academy. Mm-hmm. That's the charter school that we founded, the only nonprofit to actually be the founder of a charter school in Delaware at that time.
Mm-hmm.
LACC came along later on with mm-hmm. La Academia,
mm-hmm.
and so it's been an interesting. It's not just about the arts; it really is about community development.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that's a great segue because I wanted to ask you. I mean, the Christina Cultural Arts Center and today is it is an arts center, but it is individual focused, it is family focused, and it is community focused. Could you talk about that evolution or that growth of the Christina Cultural Arts Center over time?
Okay. So, again, in hearkening back to my own personal experiences, when I was growing up in Wilmington, even though my friends studied privately, I didn't know a place like the Christina Cultural Arts Center existed. And so as an adult and being aware, I thought it was just absolutely essential that we get form a laser-like focus on making the appreciation and the study of the arts more accessible than it was when I arrived to very low-income children and their families, not just the children. And so we've worked really diligently to do that. But in targeting that part of our community, there are other needs that they have. We have many, many people whose basic human needs are not being met for food, for shelter, and just to feel that they are part of a community. And so our programming has been really those values of arts equity, you know, mm-hmm. and doing more for people that have less, that are disadvantaged. That has undergirded the programming over the last 28 years since I've been there.
Mm-hmm. Could you talk about the range of arts programs that you have at the Christina Cultural Arts Center?
Yeah, so we have a 5-star full-day preschool,
mm-hmm.
and people refer to it as a daycare. It's not a daycare. These young people and these teachers are preparing for kindergarten readiness.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that I'm going to describe, the arts are interwoven. Arts learning is at the center. So we have the 5-star full-day preschool. We have 43 and 4-year-olds from September through June.
Mm-hmm.
And we started enrolling 3-year-olds 2 years ago because 9 months to get a four-year-old that has never gone to a structured program before to get them ready for kindergarten was insufficient. Mm-hmm. And so now we have children for 2 years. Mm. And many of them leave reading.
Wow.
Not just knowing what their colors and numbers
right.
are.
Right.
We have youth violence prevention programs. These are after-school programs, the ones I'm about to describe. The youth violence prevention program called Heart Under the Hoodie. And that is symbolic that when we see people that are dressed in a certain kind of way, with, you know, tees on or, you know, hoods on or whatever, that doesn't mean that they're hoodlums.
Right.
That just means that they're just dressing that the way the contemporary fashion
sure,
is,
sure.
And we shouldn't judge people by their outward appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And so that program services about five schools. It's targeting middle schoolers, but we started taking siblings because we didn't want to split families up.
Mm-hmm.
So that operates 4 days a week. We have private and group instruction. Level class is based on, you know, whether you're beginners or intermediate or whatever. That's for very young children through adults. So we have programming for adults as well, and people don't realize that. And music, dance, music and dance, and some drama. Our visual arts is not as comprehensive as our other programs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, there's so much more to talk about, but I want to first remind our listeners that you're tuned into Delaware State of the Arts here on News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Our guest in the studio today is the Executive Director of the Christina Cultural Arts Center and a recipient of a 2019 Governor's Award for the Arts for Arts Administration, Ray Jones Avery. Ray, we've been talking about the learning opportunities at the Christina Cultural Arts Center. Your impact goes so far beyond the Christina Cultural Arts Center. I mean, I look at your resume and all the different boards and commissions that you have been on or currently serve on. You mentioned the Quimba Academy earlier. Talk about art education, what that means to you, and you use the term arts integration. How is that of benefit to students?
I just think that it's just fundamental to our growth and development as human beings. And so we know that numeracy and mathematics and learning how to speak the English language and to write and communicate effectively is so very important. Understanding science and history, very important. But the arts are embedded, and creativity is embedded in everything. And so we don't talk about STEM, we talk about STEAM. And arts education, I believe, is a fundamental right for all children and adults. Hopefully, as children grow up, that it becomes embedded and core in their DNA, and they always seek it out. But that's not the case, Paul, and you know
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
We have a differential distribution of arts education across the state. And some schools have a very wide range of offerings, and other schools have nothing. And I think that is the absence of artistic learning, because it helps you to get in touch with who you are as a human being, you know, and it helps us to connect one with another on a very human level. So proficiency is one goal, but that is not the only goal.
Mm-hmm.
And so it saddens me that we have students that don't have the opportunity to be enriched by the joy of music or in singing or playing an instrument or, you know, taking a look at something in their world and photography or some drawing or sketching. That I'm really saddened by that. And so honestly, that drives me.
Mm-hmm.
It fuels me and to advocate that we should do better.
Mm-hmm. Now, in one of the descriptions I read of you, I think it was maybe in connection with a TEDx Wilmington talk that you gave, you were described as an artist activist. What does that mean to you, and how do you see, what does that say about you?
Well, to be an advocate is to be for something, to be for a cause. And so in my own personal mission statement, I am for equitable opportunities for everyone. And so in order to persuade others, you have to share information, first
mm-hmm.
of all, because we don't all have the same information. You know things I will never know.
Mm-hmm.
So an artist activist activates others to join forces to make the arts more accessible for everyone. So that's my definition of it. But I also utilize the arts as a platform for social justice causes. Mm-hmm. I'm very involved with the Metropolitan Women's and Urban League. I'm very involved with the National Coalition of 100 Black Women. And whatever programming that we do, I'm the voice at the table, myself and B.B. Ross Coker. We'll be like two little voices in the wind. They say, no, whenever people gather together, we should always have creative expression. It binds us in a way that just a regular speech doesn't necessarily do it. It can be invigorating, but it helps the audience go from being observers to participants. And people want to participate in life. People don't want to just observe life as a third party, as an outsider. So the arts and creativity invites all of us in when we're sharing the same space. And so as an activist, I bring that voice and that insistence to the table.
Could you speak to both your personal engagement in this, as well as Christina Cultural Arts Center's engagement in this, the notion of collaboration? I mean, as an organization and as an individual, your names are connected to so many different initiatives, from working with a Creative Vision Factory to Wilmington Renaissance. You've served on the Wilmington Hope Commission. Could you talk about the power of that, those partnerships and that kind of collaboration?
Okay. Thank you for the question, Paul. So if just sticking with the same thematic thought, connections are, and partnerships, that's what collaborations are. And so what it says is that we believe that we can, if you want, what is that expression? If you want to go fast, go alone. But mm-hmm. if you want to go far, go together.
Right.
So we believe yep. that we are able to go far through our collaborations. And, I particularly, enjoy our collaboration with the Creative Vision Factory. They are, serving a population every day that other people don't want to serve. They have behavioral health concerns, behavioral health challenges. Some of them were really struggling to maintain their sobriety. And so to have this open door place with a great energy where people can come in and not be isolated and not be isolated because of depression or anxiety, and come in, and they're not professional artists, but they're engaging in art making mm-hmm. every day. Mm-hmm. So Creative Vision Factory is one of our primary partners. We did partner with the Wilmington Renaissance to really jumpstart the Creative District, and then now it's taken on a life of its mm-hmm. own. So we believe in the power of partnerships. We believe in the power of we.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've been on Market Street for when did you move into that facility?
I've been on Market Street so long, a long time. Business owners are my neighbors. People say, why do you call them your neighbors? Because I live next door to them for like the last 28 years. Kavanaugh's Tim mm-hmm. At Kavanaugh's.
I just saw they're celebrating their 30th
yes,
anniversary.
They're celebrating.
I think.
Congratulations yeah. to Kavanaugh. I talk to Tim every day. Tim makes certain that I eat. Mm-hmm. So we have longtime neighbors on Market Street, and we have some very new neighbors. A significant increase in residents mm-hmm. Residents that are living downtown in the Buccini Pollen residences. Mm-hmm. So that's been great. But we are really a close-knit community and everybody is really excited about this big boom in terms of the nightlife with the restaurants and the deco mm-hmm. and the bars mm-hmm. you know, and all that.
I was going to ask you over the years that you've been on Market Street, what can you say about the transformation, particularly in the art scene? You mentioned when you first moved there wasn't a whole lot that was apparent.
No, you can see the tumbleweed blowing down the street. it's just a great energy. It's very very electric. It's people moving about. People, you know, business people having lunch. People that live downtown walking their dogs. With lots of children. We add the children mm-hmm. because when people were planning this revitalization, they didn't think that having children, school age children in the mix, they didn't think that was a part of the plan. And I said, too bad, because our babies are going to be there. And people take great delight in watching them walk to the park and. very ethnically and socioeconomically diverse.
Mm-hmm.
That's one big, it's taken a long time, but the vision is starting to be realized. And now the challenge is to sustain it.
Mm-hmm.
And to continue to grow.
Now, we've got a couple minutes left, so I'm going to ask you, in your career here in Wilmington and your work as an artist, what are some of the highlights you're most proud of, the accomplishments, the experiences?
Well, that's a hard question to answer because it's been so many. You know, when you acknowledge my work as a vocalist, as a jazz singer, and I don't want to put myself in a box of singing other kind of music, I'm most proud of the fact that I was able to put my children through college.
Mm-hmm.
I sang in bars every weekend for 4 or 5 years, to have my children's tuition to pay. Because, again, I've always worked for nonprofits.
Right.
And so I've not made a lot of money. And those proving grounds, those practice grounds, they were exciting at that time. I will be performing at the Delaware Art Museum on October 24th, a very different kind of environment. Mm-hmm. I'm past the, although I do still sing every now and then in certain kinds of environments, but I'm doing concerts now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want the competition of the background. I want to be able for the musicians that I work with, for us to make an artistic offering.
Mm-hmm.
and to tell stories through music.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really proud of Christina Cultural Arts Center. I'm extremely proud of Kaumba Academy. It's celebrating its 18th year in serving young people academically and integrating the arts and academics. We're K through eighth grade. I'm very proud of being able to have the perseverance and the grit to enjoy and to be transformed on a personal level.
Well, Raith Jones Avery, thanks so much for joining us. I invite our listeners to join you on October 28th at Dover Downs at 4:00 to be part of a free and open to the public awards ceremony for the Governor's Awards for the Arts.